Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about this interesting question. That question is whether Islam is a religion of practice or theory. In order to talk about this discussion, we have decided to humbly invite Sheikh Ali Himani. Sheikh Ali Himani, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the talk show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me again on the show. Inshallah, let's hope we have a fruitful discussion.
Inshallah, Sheikh Himani, thank you so much. So last time we had been talking about this question of whether Islam, you know, is a religion of practice, you know, mere rituals, for example, or it is a religion of just mere theory. In the last session, even though they're kind of semi-independent sessions, in the last session we did talk about how, it's a religion of both. The practice is based upon the theory, you know. And so we wanted to continue and talk about that a little bit more and open up some more of these dimensions, sure, if you will, in the name of Allah.
Sure, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you remember last time, we mentioned about this psychological learning concept called visual, auditory and kinesthetic, which was learning right through the ears and eyes and by doing it, you know, by being practically involved and physically involved into an action.
Yes.
Today, we're going to look at another concept. It's called knowledge, KSA. It's called knowledge, skill and attitude.
Knowledge, skill and attitude.
Mm-hmm. So what this talks about is, again, one of the learning concepts. It says that if you want a learning to be with you forever, then you have to follow this trend of learning it, acquiring the knowledge, then converting this knowledge into skill, and practicing that knowledge. Because if you don't practice that knowledge will leave you and you will forget about it.
Sure.
And that skill will remain with you as long as you are practicing it. And from there, converting the skill into attitude. Now, a lot of institutions around the world, if you see medicine and engineering and software and cryptocurrencies, artificial intelligence, though this trend exists, which talks about knowledge, skill and attitude, a lot of them get stuck at the skill level, right? Mm-hmm. So you have them acquiring the knowledge and then they practice and practice and practice and practice and they get stuck at the skill level. Now, some people think that if someone becomes an expert, they have attained that level of attitude. But that's not what happens. Mm-hmm. So if someone is practiced, for example, let's take example of a heart surgeon, right? He's gone to the school, he's learned all he had to learn, and now he started practicing. So now he's conducting surgeries. And his success rate is, let's say, 90%. So out of every 100 patients, he's successfully able to save 90 and 10 he ends up losing. So people would call him an expert up to 90 level. But then after practicing for years and years, let's say 20 years and 30 years, his expertise reaches 99 or 99.5 level. Meaning that out of 100 patients, he's able to save 99 and only one, you know, passes away, for example.
Sure.
This again is still not attitude. This is still the skill, only the expertise have increased. Mm-hmm. What is attitude? Attitude here is converting this knowledge and skill into your character, turning it into your trait, turning it into your attribute, being that doctor, you know, something that Abraham Maslow mentions in his hierarchy of needs. He says self-actualization. He says basic needs, physical needs, social needs, self-esteem needs. And then the last thing he mentions is self-actualization. He says the person becomes that thing. So if a painter is painting and he attains self-actualization, meaning that he's at the peak of his characteristic of being a painter, he's naturally a painter now. So let's take example of the doctor. How does a doctor become this doctor with this attitude of that knowledge? Mm-hmm. Meaning that he realizes that I'm a doctor and my purpose, the purpose of my existence is to save life, even if the person is not paying me. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
Even if the person is my enemy, I have to save him. Why? Because I'm a doctor. And this is where we say the medical science has become his trait. It has become his character. The first thing that comes to his mind is saving lives. And not that how much am I going to make? How much is he going to pay? He's poor. He's probably not going to pay. So let me not start before he pays and stuff like he's my enemy, staunch enemy. Nothing. The first thing that comes to his mind is I gotta save the life.
Sure, sure.
This is attitude. Now let's look at Islam. Islam says that you have mm-hmm. that knowledge up there. Use that knowledge and don't stay there. Because if you stay with the knowledge, it is not going to benefit you. Because Islam says Islam is a religion of practice.
Sure.
And when you practice, it is then that you reap benefits in the akhirah and dunya. So Islam says you have the knowledge. Take that knowledge and convert that into skill.
Mm-hmm.
And then Islam says not just that. Practice is so much that it becomes your attitude. And it becomes your character. It becomes your kirdar. It becomes your raftar, right? And this is where, let me point it out towards the history. And this is where the enemies of Islam had the upper hand. Where they would see the ashab of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and the way they would walk, just the way of walking, or just the way they would give charity to the poor people, they would look at that and say, that's the ashab of Imam Ali. That's the ashab of Imam Raza. Capture them, grab them, kill them. It was just out of the behavior. Why? Because the Islam was there in their blood. It had become the kirdar and character. So everything that they would do, people would see Islam in it. Right? Islam talks about this thing that, you know, you have knowledge, move it towards skill. And then don't stay there. Don't keep it at the skill level. Improvise and take it towards the attitude so that it becomes part of your character.
What's interesting, so in the last episode where we talked about the initial discussion, we also said how these are learning concepts which are in the modern day. They're
correct.
Not, you know, 1500s type thing. No, and these are modern day learning concepts which are being used in different, probably sociological and psychological areas. So they're relatively advanced, we could say.
Correct.
But despite that, we find that Islam, because it is sourced in the Almighty Allah, it has these innate features within itself, you know?
Yeah.
And so here, because as you were explaining the whole knowledge and then skill and that attitude, my whole mind went towards the Sayr al-Suluk, the spiritual wayfaring,
exactly.
which is very similar to this. And the way that the Ahlul Bayt and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they taught, right, is they gave this knowledge of becoming this insani kamil, this perfect human being, this representative of Allah on the earth. They gave you the knowledge, then they gave you what you need to do.
Exactly.
You do that skill continuously until, you know,
it becomes part of you.
It becomes a part of you. And this
yeah.
It also reminds me, I don't know if you're into falsafa at all, but this whole sadrai falsafa.
Correct.
And this fana fillah type thing,
correct,
which
correct.
Of course is a different
perspective, a deeper
perspective.
Version of it.
Yeah.
But this is what it is all about. And that's why, without getting into the Irfani bahas and the philosophical bahas, so that people don't get confused. But that's what Islam wants, basically.
Right.
So if you look at, for example, if you look at Quran, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 8, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that some of you say that I have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I have faith on the day of Akhirah, but you do not have faith.
Right?
You say that I have Iman on it, but you're not among the mu'minin.
It's almost like they're in the knowledge theory level. They haven't moved into
the skill
and practice level.
Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you're saying it, right? And you're saying it on what grounds? You're saying it on the grounds that you have the knowledge of it. But that's not what I'm expecting.
Mm.
What I'm expecting from you is the skill. Practice it. If you don't practice it, I don't see you as a mu'min.
Right.
I only see you as a person holding the knowledge. Like we mentioned, if a doctor, he gets his degree, we don't call him a doctor until he starts practicing, right?
Saving lives.
Yeah. Mm. So when he starts practicing, it is only then we say he's a doctor, let's go to him. He's a lawyer, let's go to him, right? And similarly, when the angels are looking down upon us, they're like, okay, you've got the knowledge, but when are you going to practice so that I write your name as a mu'min here, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly pointing out and saying that, look, if you don't practice, you're not mu'min at all. And if you look at the book, The Islamic Thought in Quran by Maqam-e Muazzam Rahbari Ayatollah Khamenei, he also mentions in his discussion in the first part of the book where he talks about Iman. He says, when you define Iman, Iman is not just something to have belief upon or have faith upon. Defining Iman without action is actually incomplete definition of Iman.
Right.
Iman means that it has to be accompanied by action. Without action, it's not iman at all.
Right.
And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you're not mu'min. You don't have iman. Why? Because I'm not seeing any practice in your action. So whatever knowledge you have, you need to practice that. And good that you mentioned about sayr al-suluk and other things,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
I've heard that a lot of people who went to Ayatollah Behjat and they said, you know, Ayatollah Behjat, you know, the many stories about it. One of them said, I want to be like you. And someone else said that I want to be better than what I am now. I want to proceed. The fundamental thing that Ayatollah Behjat told them was that, are you practicing what you know?
Right.
That you're seeking more. If you're not practicing what you already know, what's the point of seeking more and getting more? You're only
right.
increasing your knowledge, and increasing knowledge is not going to take you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right. And matter of fact, I would, you know, humbly add here, and you can you
sure.
know, discuss it, but it would I would humbly add that it probably takes you away from Allah, right?
Yeah.
So for example, the more knowledge you have, the more you should be acting upon it.
Exactly.
And when you decide to voluntarily or involuntarily to not act upon that knowledge which you have, then you're getting in trouble now.
Correct.
Because you, for example, right, you know that, for example, you know that the people in Yemen are
yeah.
being bombed to death. You
yeah.
know the people in Palestine.
Yeah.
You have the knowledge.
And
but
you're not doing anything about it.
You're not doing anything about it.
And
it actually, yeah.
We have a hadith here which says that if you have knowledge and you don't practice, rather, let me put it this way. The hadith says knowledge is like an untamed horse, right? If you do not practice your knowledge, it's going to run away from you like an untamed horse. An
right.
untamed horse runs at a super
right.
fast.
It's wild.
It's wild. It just runs away from you, right? So there's a hadith which says that if you have knowledge and you're not practicing it, then it runs away from you, right?
Yes.
So this point that you mentioned that, you know, when there's zulm happening around the world, right from, you know, even the Pakistan floods now, right? A lot
yes,
of people
yes.
talk about it, but how many of them are actually stepping up and contributing and helping them out? You know, you can say that my heart goes out to them, but that's not enough,
right?
So
right.
you need to show in amal that I am a mu'min, I care for others. And that is when this knowledge will convert into skill and essentially into attitude. So this is very, very important aspect that mm-hmm. unfortunately mm-hmm. Either I should say not many scholars talk about it and not many mu'mineen ponder upon it or try to work that out for
yes.
it's pretty unfortunate.
You know, it seems like, so for example, this whole idea of the knowledge, skills, attitude, and in the previous session, you know, it was from theory to practice. It's a kind of a, you know, a scientific analysis of Islam. And I agree with you, very few people do that. Very few people sit and listen, sit and think and say, wow, this is what the modern world has come up with. Yet Islam innately had these things within itself 1,000 years ago,
correct.
Right? We just didn't have these fancy names, for example.
Exactly,
for
exactly. We
yeah.
didn't have the fancy names. But let me again tell you, this is something that is not even hidden. It's not even
yes.
a hidden concept.
Sure.
So someone might come around and say that, oh, you need to look at the raftar and the actions of the Holy Prophet, dissect it, analyze it, and that's when you
the
understand.
The ta'wil and the batin.
Exactly. No, yeah. no, no. Just open Quran and run your search, you know, iman. You run the search iman and you will see at least 50 ayats,
mm-hmm.
you know, the 50 mm-hmm. verses, which clearly says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu wa amilus salihat. So many places, Surah Baqarah, Surah Ankabut, Surah Rum, Surah Fatir, Surah Muhammad, so many places, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu wa amilus salihat. So Quran is clearly telling you that all those who have iman and there's nothing in between, immediately with the wow, it says, and those who perform good deeds.
Yes.
Ya ayyuhallazina amanu wa amilus salihat. There's nothing like all those who have iman and their iman is strong and in deep rooted and then you perform amilus salih. No, those who have iman and perform. So there's a close connection to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly saying that if you have iman and amilus salih, that is when I'm actually talking to you. You are
yes.
someone that I'm addressing to. You are someone that is part of my religion. But those who have iman and no amalus saleh, no practice, no skill, I'm not even bothered about you. I'm not even looking at you. You're not mu'mineen. Wa mahum bi mu'mineen. Right? And it's very unfortunate that being around the world for tabligh, I've seen some people come around and say that, you know, oh, the faith has to be in the heart, you know, the hijab has to be in the heart, and, you know, practice is all secondary, you know, your heart should be pure. I would turn around and say that, look, this doesn't even apply to the practical world, right? Now, imagine me sitting here and I'm saying that, oh, being a doctor is in my heart. You know, I so truly, really, sincerely want to be a doctor. In my heart, I'm saving lives. But in practical world, it has no implication. Yeah. You know, it doesn't work in real life. What are you talking about religion? We're talking about eternal life, right? Yes. So keeping it in your heart is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, are you trying to ridicule me? Are you trying to make fun of me? Are you mocking at me? What do you mean it's in your heart? No, I want to see it in your action. That is when it is iman. You know, having it in your heart has no value to me. It has no implications, no contribution to the society. Where's the positive contribution? So that's why if we look at this knowledge, skill and attitude concept, Islam is very, very clear about it.
Yes.
Just the knowledge is not enough. You need to bring it to skill level. And even at the skill level, it's not enough. You need to convert it into attitude.
Into attitude. Sheikh Ali Himani, I think... that probably brings us towards the end of the talk show. But there was something interesting that I wanted to add and just comment before we end. That was this idea. So, for example, you gave an example of the, you know, I'm a doctor in my heart, saving millions of lives in my heart, you know. And then because we just passed the months of, you know, Muharram and Safar, it really just hit me. It resounded, you know, very hard, I guess. Or very loudly, that if Imam Hussein alayhi salam had simply said, I'm going to reform the ummah of my grandfather in my heart, I'm not going to do anything, then you know, you wouldn't see this. Nothing would have happened.
So that's why Islam is very, very clear and articulate about it. So it has, the Islam is very, very clearly a religion which says that get your theory right, and show it to me. Show it to me in your practice. It's only then I call you a Muslim, a mu'min.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair wa afiyah. Thank you so much, Sheikh Himani, for coming and joining us on the talk show. I believe we have one third session. We will continue that in the next talk show, inshallah. Continuing this really interesting discussion about whether Islam is a religion of practice or theory. Thank you so much. And dear viewers, thank you again for joining us on the Islamic Pulse talk show. Until another talk show where we will continue to talk about this very interesting question, that whether is Islam a religion of practice or theory. Until that episode, fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.